Even in New York, where religion and issues of faith are usually on the margins of public life, the Pope has people talking. A lot of what he says is viewed through the reductive lens of politics. Is he liberal? Is he conservative? But for a lot of Catholics, his words have a deeply personal, emotional impact.
1988, I entered seminary in Glasgow as a seminarian.
Reverend Jim Rooney is from Scotland. He served as a parish priest before moving to New York in the year 2000 and becoming the chaplain at St. Vincent's Hospital. He left that ministry in 2008 over the issue of celibacy. He's also gay, and this summer, Father Jim and his partner, Adrian, took a trip to Scotland.
And whilst over there, I proposed in marriage to him. He said yes. I then had to come out to my family, and that was a bit of an experience, to say the least.
It all went down at his 50th birthday party. Jim is one of 10 children. He has a big family, and some of them were shocked.
And there was angry words spoken. There were tears. There was a sense almost, I felt, of rejection. I don't think my family were meaning to be hurtful. They were just coming from where they were at as human beings and also as Christians, as Catholics.
Some members of his family, however, said they'd always known he was gay, and they came over and hugged him. Others kind of came around. So it was a mixed experience, and now as he looks ahead to next year when he plans to get married, he hopes his family will make the trip. And he thinks Pope Francis may be one of his best allies in that effort.
He's changing the paradigm. He's moving the agenda from a specific topic to one of seeing the whole person. And I think that's what I've tried to challenge with my family, to see Jim as being a whole person.
This is the kind of thing you hear from a lot of Catholics. Not that Pope Francis has changed church policy, but that he's changed the emphasis of church policy away from certain hot-button social issues. Supporters say it's a more holistic approach and that it's energizing the church. The other day, I swung by Connolly's Bar in Times Square for Theology on Tap.
They were offered the choice, and everyone took it, the other did not.
Catholics, mostly youngish professionals, get together here for drinks and to listen to discourses on faith. One of the organizers is Mario Brusci. He said one of his friends had left the church for a long time. And then came Pope Francis.
She has now come back to the church. She now goes to confession. She goes to Mass every Sunday. She's getting involved in the faith.
One of the attendees, Tim Likens, is a drummer who plays in a number of cabarets. He also runs a young adult group at St. Malachy's, the Actors' Chapel, and says the mood there has become lighter in recent months. Some Catholics he knows who are gay and have struggled with their faith have been galvanized by the Pope's public appearances and his remarks.
People were calling me during his interview when it was being aired. And unfortunately, I couldn't get to a TV to watch it. But I had people calling me, Tim, you need to get to a TV. You know, and then the next day they're calling me and they're like, you got to pick up a newspaper and check this out, like what the church is talking about. And I'm like, just to let you know, he's not saying anything different. But I'm excited that you're excited about it because you feel more connected now.
It isn't just Catholics who are changing. It's the perception of the church as well.
We're so used to engaging in conversations that may not be the most comfortable.
Not too friendly.
Not too friendly. People have a little bit more of a friendlier stance and a little more open mind to listen to a Catholic now. You're not so much on the defense.
What some Catholics say is that Pope Francis has made their faith a little less polemicized. It's funny because there are 75 million Catholics in America, but even that huge, diverse population doesn't necessarily translate to a nuanced public image. Some Catholics say they're largely defined by the church's stance on abortion and homosexuality, and, of course, the countless stories of young Catholics who were sexually abused by their priests, like this person who recounted his story on Frontline in 2007.
I remember him like rubbing my shoulders and then rubbing my back and then sort of sliding his hands under my shirt. And I thought, this is a little bit uncomfortable, but I still felt safe. I felt like, okay, you know, this is what I get for being a sinner. You know, he's trying to help me out.
So all the positive attention that the Pope is bringing to the church is refreshing for Catholics. Kat Bride, a travel agent in Astoria, says aside from his emphasis on serving the poor and social justice, Francis just feels contemporary.
I think he's a man of his time. Francis is firmly in the 21st century.
Unlike, Bride says, his predecessor, Pope Benedict.
Benedict comes from the old world. I think he'd be a fabulous pope in the 19th century.
Still, not everyone's cheering. Cecilia Portillo, a member of the Pro-Life Catholic Abolitionist Society, says the Pope's lack of emphasis on abortion is making some of her peers worry.
I certainly think there are people like Catholic abolitionists who would say, hey, 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 wait a minute, come back here. Let's take a better look at abortion because it is such a big issue.
But she still supports her Pope. The vast majority of devout Catholics do, according to polls. Father Tom Rees, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter, says there's a reason Francis is so popular. At this moment in history, when governments are being brought down and institutions are being challenged, this Pope, who oversees 1.2 billion Catholics, does not embody power.
He wants something that's down with the people today and doesn't stand on its power and its position and looks pretentious, but somebody who comes to serve, someone who comes to love.
This is Micropolis. I'm Arun Venugopal at WNYC.
Step to the left.